John 4:35, reading from the New King James Version, it says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes." Everybody say, lift up your eyes. "And look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." They're ready to be harvested. They're ready right now to be harvested. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" I'm talking about the fields that we have been praying for, the fields that way back to the starting pastor, Brother White, that was praying over the fields of this city. He was praying over the fields of this city. I'm here to tell this church this morning that now is the hour, that now is the time. He is saying, "I know you said it was going to be months from now, but God is saying, I don't have months. I don't have years. I'm telling this church this morning, look up, put your eyes in the field, because it is white. It is ready for harvest. It is time to reach this world like never before." I want to preach just for a moment, a mandate to reach. Everybody say, a mandate to reach. Amen. Before you're seated, I want you to just put your hands together one more time, magnify the Lord. Worship Him this morning. You may be seated. For years, people have tried to pinpoint the exact purpose of the church. If you Google search the question, you'll find multiple answers of what the purpose is of the church. Some will tell you it is to worship God, which I agree that is one of the things that we are created to do. It is to feed the hungry, and some will tell you it is to put on great programs. When I Googled it, I did come across that some were talking about more about programs than they were about their services. Some were talking more about handing out food to the homeless than they were about prayer. And then some were so focused on growth that they would do no matter what they had to do to grow the church. Some were there just to support their cities. That's all they wanted to be, was just a support to their city. And some would say that it was just to help the poor and the needy. That I want us to understand something this morning for the church to figure out what our purpose is. That it is impossible to truly define success without clearly defining your purpose. You may refer to something as success, but if it is not in alignment with your purpose, it is not success. You see, this is a problem as we repeatedly label things as success or failure that have little, if anything, to do with our purpose. We think our purpose is to increase the size of church membership and to grow the church. I know you've probably heard it said so many times that we got to grow the church. We've got to grow a church. We have to increase the membership. We have to grow the church. And we've even had years of growth, and just a couple years ago it was going to be a year of growth, but we understand that that was not supposed to be a year of growth in numbers, but it was a year of growth spiritually. There's a difference, because anybody can grow a church. I promise you, if you just want to grow numbers, we could grow numbers. I could take you to some of the largest churches in this nation that have a lot of people, but no spirit. They've got a lot of people without change in their life. They are who they were when they first came in, because all they're worried about is just growing a church and growing membership. But that's not the purpose. You see, that's where the issue comes in, that we think our purpose is simply just to do that, to grow a church. But this is not our purpose, not according to Scripture. And everything needs to be compared to Scripture that you do. Jesus said, I will build my church. He did not say, Pastor Blankenship, your job is to come down here and to build my church. Nope. Not one time did he tell me that. He simply said, I will build my church. You'll simply just assist. So Paul states in 1 Corinthians 3 and 7, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. But God gives the increase. So we have to remind ourselves sometimes, this is not about us. We can put on great events, and we have. We can put on a great Easter egg hunt, and we have. We've had great success in our eyes. But I have to ask, why did we do it? What was the purpose? And where's the fruit of it? It's only a success if you're doing that to try to fulfill the purpose of the church. So if we don't build or grow the church, then what is our purpose? Look at your neighbor and say, what's our purpose? It drives everybody. What's our purpose? I have no purpose. There are people that will leave and go deep into the woods to get alone, hallelujah, to find their purpose. What's my purpose? You want to find your purpose? You'll find it right here. You'll find it right here.
Yeah, that's true.
The trees won't speak anything to you. Hallelujah. Even if you hug them. Hallelujah. Better be good this morning. What's our purpose? I'm here to bring you the simple answer this morning. It's not going to be anything too profound. It's not going to be something crazy. But the simple answer this morning is there is a lost world. And we have a mandate to reach it. This is a body of souls. You want to know your purpose? There's your purpose. There's your purpose. What are you supposed to be doing? As a church, that's your purpose. So you can see it at home. Make sure you know. That's your purpose right here. What is this? This represents souls. From this side to that side, from this side to that side, this represents souls. That is your purpose. That's your purpose. Our purpose in this city is not to grow some big old giant building. That's not our purpose. And I never want this church to get so caught up in the building that we forget about our purpose. It wasn't the purpose back in the 60s. This right here, that wasn't the purpose. But it was success in the purpose that caused them to have to build this building. It was success in the tent meetings back when Brother White was preaching in the very beginning that caused somebody in the church to say, I'll give you a building because we need more room. We're to the place now that we're fulfilling our purpose in this. And God says, listen, you keep fulfilling your purpose and you'll be successful in your purpose. I promise you that building is not going to be big enough to contain what I have for you. The success, if you stay focused on your purpose, I'm telling you right now, we have to understand our purpose is not four walls, but our purpose is the souls in this city. That's our purpose. That's it. Isaiah 5:14. It says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, has opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp and their rejoiceth shall descend into it. Hell hath enlarged her mouth to catch the millions that daily fall into it. And here's the issue. Here's the issue. If we believe that the Bible is literally true, and we preach it is, and if we believe that it is forever settled in heaven, and if we believe that God has spoken truth and that his truth will not return unto him void. And if we believe that Jesus said in Matthew 5:18 that not, it says not one jot, it says or not one tittle or anything as written will go unfulfilled. So that tells me whatever the word of God says, whatever has been written down and spoken, it shall come to pass. We all in agreement today on that? That God's not going to change his mind at the last minute and say, oh, no, never mind. Never mind, Athens. You've been faithful. You've been pursuing the purpose. But, you know, the promises I gave you of an outpouring, I'm going to back out on that. God doesn't do that. So if we believe that everything has been spoken and written and that his word, that this word right here, is true and everything that is in it will come to pass, then we as apostolics have no choice but to believe that there is a very real eternal lake of fire. There are only 12 passages in the New Testament that use the specific word hell. These verses say it is a place to simply avoid. Even at the loss of your health or your well-being. It is even said that if you have to pluck out your eye or even remove your hand in order to be saved from it, it would be worth it. That's the word of God. So that tells you how serious this is. This is not what some people, I've heard some people say, oh, it's going to be one big party in hell. How disappointed they're going to be when they realize that it wasn't a joke that Hollywood made up, but it is real. It is real. Jesus spoke 3 times more about hell than he did heaven. John the Beloved said that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And he said that this is the second death. And whosoever's names was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to know before I go any further, as your pastor, I believe in a place called hell. It's easy to say I believe in a place called heaven because heaven sounds good. But I believe in a place called hell. It's a rare subject anymore. It's a rarity to hear it preached about. One mega church pastor even went so far as to get up and tell his congregation, because he was afraid to lose them, that he got up and told them that hell is not real. That all will make it to heaven. Hell is real. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about the smoke of their torment ascending up forever and forever, and they have no rest day and night. And they will cry out for just one drop of water. One drop of water. It's a place where there's no way out. And once they're there forever and forever. Hear your pastor this morning. Hell is more than a swear word. A lot of times we tell our kids, don't say that. Don't talk about that. No, I want them to know it's real. I want them to hear it. I want them to hear it from their dad when I preach. I want you boys to hear me that it's real. And it is a place where people will spend eternity. It's a real place. Charles Spurgeon said this. And when I read this, it hit me so hard. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled. Let it be filled with the deep of our exertions. And let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. We have a mandate. We have a mandate. I know I've been preaching about the miraculous. I've been preaching about the miracles, and those things are coming. I'm telling you right now. Those things are coming. But I can tell you right now that the same thing I preached about with Peter, reaching into the miraculous. Peter reached out to a broken man that had no hope. He had nothing to live for. Only thing he was looking for was some alms. I'm telling you, there are a lot of broken people on their way to hell this morning, and they're looking for a church that will stop on the way to church and reach out their hand and say, I know you're broken, and I know nobody else has something to offer you. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. I'm telling you, rise up out of your brokenness and walk. Rise up. Come on. Rise up and walk in a new life. It's for them.
Amen.
We have a mandate to reach. To reach them. We have to reach. I pray this church family grabs a hold of this message this morning. That people are dying and going to hell. And we claim to have the saving message. And we believe we have the saving message. And we claim that this unchangeable and unchanging infallible word of God, it has settled that message. That there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do we believe it? Do we believe John 3 and 5 that Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, Jesus' name, baptism, and of the Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, that's hard preaching, Pastor. Yeah, it's not time to preach soft because we're getting to the end. People have got to hear it. Listen, I'm telling you right now, that's what I'm talking about with Peter. What you're doing, you begin to testify and you begin to reach out to people and tell them what God has done for you. What you're doing is you're being Peter and you're reaching your hand out and you're saying, listen, I know it seems hopeless, but I want to tell you something. There's a mandate that we have to respond to, but there is hope in him. There is salvation in him. There was a God who loved you enough that he let that crimson stream of blood flow down Calvary, and it saved us all, and it gave us the ability to reach out to him and all of our sins be washed away. Come on, somebody. Have you been saved? Has the blood been applied to you this morning? You should be excited. You should be happy that you've experienced it. You've had it in your life. It's washed away all those things. It's washed away and made you new. Somebody else needs to hear it this morning. We've got a mandate to reach. A mandate to reach. Hallelujah. We live in a world full of mandates. Somebody give an amen. Mask mandates everywhere you go. Mandated even to enter in restaurants in some cities. And don't feel bad if you have one on this morning and you're here. Ain't nobody saying anything about that. I'm just saying we're to the place now. It's not even optional. It's mandated that you can't shop some places without them. I can tell you for a fact, you can't fly without them. People getting arrested and kicked off airplanes because it was below their nose. And they were probably were a little stubborn and refused to put it up. But I can't even go to hospitals and pray for saints anymore without having to put one on because it's a mandate. And in some places, they're not just mandating the mask, but there are some places where the vaccine is now being mandated in order to even go to work and earn money for your family. In order to go to school, there are mandates in place. In some cities, if you do not show your proof that you have had the vaccine, that in a public setting, you can now be arrested for trying to go into that place without showing proof that you have been vaccinated. That's the world we are living in. And it doesn't matter anymore if you feel like wearing one or not. The government didn't ask you how you felt about it. And I can tell you right now, I know we whine and complain about it. But look around the world. It could be worse. Oh, it could be worse. People say our freedoms are getting taken away from us. I agree to a point, but we have our freedoms. We're having church, aren't we? I've got friends that are pastors right now that can't come together because if they walk through those doors, they get arrested. Our freedoms are still here. We still have them, and we hold on to them. But the government didn't ask you if you felt like wearing one. And they didn't ask for your opinion on how it should be done. I don't remember there being a poll go out. I never received anything on asking me if it would be okay if they move forward with this. I'm a citizen, and my government puts out the mandates. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang in there. And they don't ask if it's, you know, if you don't feel like doing this or if you don't follow it. They didn't ask you your opinion on it because it's a mandate. A mandate means it's an official order or a commission. So this morning, I'm here to bring you another mandate. Everyone's like, great. That's just what we want. Everybody at home, don't you dare sign off right now. I'm not here to bring you a mandate from the government. I'm not here to bring you a mandate from me as your pastor. But I'm here to bring you a mandate from the Lord. His mandate goes like this. And he didn't ask if it was okay. He said, go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel. Not if you feel like it. Not if you have enough strength. Not if it's okay with you, but he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hear me this morning. We're talking about your purpose. Your purpose rests within the mandate from God. The mandate equals the commission, the Great Commission. We have a mandate as a church that he didn't ask for our opinion on it. But he said, I've given you a mandate. And I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you to do. Whether you like it or not, whether it's inconvenient or not for you in your life, I'm not asking that. He said, I'm giving you a mandate. And that mandate is this. It is time for the church to reach the world around you. It is your mandate to do this. It's not your mandate to be here on a Sunday. It's not a mandate to come in here and pay a tithe. Come on. Those things are there. Yes, those things are should be followed. But he said, my mandate, my great commission is for you to reach the lost and dying world that is going to hell right now. He said, that is my mandate for you. You see, you must first understand your purpose. Now we understand our purpose before you can fulfill it. A lot of people say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in life. I don't know what it is. I have people come to the church, Pastor, I want to do something, but I just don't know what to do. There's just nothing for me to do. Oh, yes, there is something for you to do. It's your mandate. Go win souls. Go teach Bible studies in your home. Invite people over in the midweek and set up a Bible study chart on your table. Give them a little bit of food and a drink and say, let me teach you what the Word of God says. Come on, there's hope for your life. It's that simple. We make it too hard, but God is saying, listen, it's time for the church to respond to the mandate. Yes. Our purpose is His mandate. Somebody say, our purpose is His mandate. Oh, God. We just lift our hands over this place right now. Come on, I want you to pray. God, let that sink in right now. Let that sink into my heart, God. Let that sink into my mind that my purpose, I found my purpose. My purpose is your mandate. My purpose, God, is the Great Commission, Lord. My purpose is to go and preach the gospel, to go tell somebody about it. Let somebody know there's hope. There's hope that they don't have to go to a lake of fire. There's hope, God, that you died for them, Lord. You shed your blood for them, Lord. God, they can be baptized in your name, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. They can fulfill, God. They can fulfill, God, the promise, Lord, that you gave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. John 4, starting at verse 3. It says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. It might not have been that he wanted to. But his purpose overtook his feelings. We need to let the purpose overtake our feelings sometimes. I just don't feel like teaching a Bible study, Pastor. That's inconvenient. I don't have time to do that. You don't have time not to do that. We don't have time not to do that. It says that he must needs go through Samaria. It had to happen. It had to. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour of the day. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And the Bible says, for his disciples, I love how this is just randomly tossed in there. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So Jesus basically said, we have to go to Samaria. And they were probably, you got to go where? What are you going there for? We don't go there. Jews don't go there. I don't want to go there. Now, I guarantee you, Peter spoke up because he was mouthy. Mm-hmm. Think he was the mouthy one, very outspoken one. He thought he could say whatever. We got to go where? I don't want to go there. Those people are dirty. I don't want to go deal with those people. There's another route we could take. I've got another route we can take. If we go this way, we can go around it and not even deal with it. And Jesus, I'm sure he probably didn't say this. This is probably what I would have said. Just shut up and go buy some lunch. Be about your business. I'll be about mine. I'm simply removing you because your attitude's not right. And you'll be a distraction. Some people have a hard time loving people that's not like them. But the mandate mandates you to love them.
Amen.
It's a part of it. You'll never fulfill your purpose if you can't love people that's not like you. Just say it. So he sends them away. Jesus removes distractions. I'm going to stay here just for a moment to talk about this. Because distractions can cancel out our purpose.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that this week that people, some, maybe not everybody, but I'm guessing that some people struggled a little bit when you opened your phone and said, oh, let's see what so-and-so is doing on Facebook. I'm sure, I know for a fact that some of you struggled because I got notifications that popped up that you posted. Just saying. And I was like, oh, they must have missed the announcement and church and everything else leading up to this. It's okay. Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. They know very well what they're doing. But show them grace and mercy, Lord, and some conviction. But I know there's a struggle. There is. Because I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I'm not on Facebook. I know you say, well, you post on Facebook. No, I post on Instagram, and it shares it to Facebook. So I'll just clear that up. I'm not on Facebook. So if you message me on Facebook and I don't respond, don't get offended. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. That's all it is. But I understand that it's a struggle because we're so wrapped up in what's going on around us. We get caught up in people's lives that honestly, if you're honest with yourself, you don't remember who they are. They sent you a friend request and you accept it, but you're like, I have no idea who this person is. But that person gets more attention than Jesus. They become a distraction. When the distraction comes into place, the media and everything that's going on around us, I'm telling you right now, they played, I wish I had that video that they played at the beginning of Because of the Times. It was events over the last 2 years that have taken place. And I believe that for some churches, it was those events that pushed them to a place they've never been in prayer. And I believe this church was one of them. And I believe it pushed some Christians to the place that they have never been before, but yet it pushed some Christians out the back door and they never came back.
Yeah.
Because there was so much going on, instead of it pushing you to your knees, it pushed you to a place you said you would never be. And you no longer come to church. And some of the pastors preached that there are, and this is what, you notice we're not live. This is the first time we've been live for a long time. We do podcast. Because I didn't want you getting too comfortable in your PJs and your coffee in your hand on your couch. It became a distraction for some people. And all the things going on there are some people that got so caught up in the activity of the world and in situations of the world that they were more caught up in that than they were what God was trying to do in that hour. And they missed out on it. Remember the year of growth we had? And we had to close our doors. And I was scratching my head thinking, I know I didn't miss that one, God. And then he said, first prayer, then revival. And we learned how to pray as a church. We learned how to go places in prayer that we had not been before. We unlocked the supernatural in this place. Gifts of the Spirit have been in operation ever since then. I'm telling you, if we would have been distracted by everything around us, we would be coming here into a dead, boring church this morning. But thank God people responded. Thank God that he showed us that if you won't let it distract you, it'll be something that will drive you into places you have not been. And I will teach you how to pray in places you have never been before. And I will teach you how to reach into the heavenlies and experience the things of heaven. And that's what happened. The distractions. Distractions. It's so easy to get on our phones. And I know that some people announced on the one call that we're going to break our fast, media fast, at 11 o'clock to go live. And there were probably some people that were 11 o'clock and they were sitting there like an addict, like, come on, come on, 10:59, 10:59, come on, counting down the seconds. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And they meant to go watch the service, but right now they're just checking out everybody's food they're eating. I know it's reality. Because some people are distracted. It can become a distraction. But the reality is this. In 1 hour spent on Facebook, I researched it. It hit me so hard. Because it's so easy to spend that 1 hour on Facebook. Because you meant to go look up a recipe. And then an hour and a half later, you're caught reading somebody's story that they're going through. In that 1 hour, hear me. In that 1 hour, souls are slipping into hell. In 1 hour on Facebook, 6,392 people die each hour. You say, well, I just spent a couple minutes. 106 on average die every minute. 1.8 die every second. Gone, 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 gone. And what is the church doing? We're distracted. We give more time to this than we give to this. That's reality. And God said, I've given a mandate. But some people in some churches are not responding to the mandate. There are souls right now in this city and in this region, this area. There are souls, there are people all across the world right now that are sitting there thinking, there's no hope for me. There's nothing to live for. And we believe we hold the message. But we're distracted by the tools that the enemy uses. We say, oh, Pastor, but you can use this for a good thing. Absolutely, yes, you can. And the word is being preached right now on Facebook. But I'm asking you tomorrow morning, what's it going to be used for? What's it going to be used for on Tuesday and Wednesday? What's it going to be used for then? Is it going to be used for you to get on and complain about this or that or this or that happening? And Pastor didn't do this and Pastor didn't do that. Brother and sister did this. I'm telling you right now, it is not a tool that is going to be used for the good thing if your purpose is not set to his mandate. It'll be a distraction. You lift your hands right now and just say, God, remove the distractions. Come on, lift your voice right now, everyone in this room. God, remove the distractions from me, God.
God, open my eyes, Lord. God, if I go that direction again, Lord. Come on, we've been fasting this. We've removed it. We proved to ourselves we can do it this week. God, let me hold on to it, God. God, don't let me spend more time, God, on media, Lord, than I do in your word, God. Don't let me spend more time, God, on social media or watching my favorite show than I do reaching out to the lost and dying world around me, God. God, your mandate is to reach, God. God, help me, Lord, with distractions, Lord. God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. I want to talk about this just for a second and we'll move on. I want to talk about the distractions of a spirit, a devastating spirit that has been released over the last couple of years in this world. And I've preached on it before, but I'm telling you right now, as your pastor, it's trying to creep up in the church, and I refuse to let it happen. I won't sit back and watch it. I'm going to stomp it out today, because it's not going to stop what we're doing here. It's not going to distract us. I want to talk about the distraction of the spirit of offense. God spoke this to me this morning while I was in here praying. He said, if my church was offended by hell as much as they were their brothers and sisters, we'd put hell out of business. You should be offended that it robbed you of your kids and what they knew. You should be offended of the attack that has come up on the church. You should be offended enough to fight. But don't let it get into your mind that your brothers and sisters are trying to do you wrong and get offended by them. If you find, thank you, Brother Bob. If you find yourself there this morning, what you need to do is get in a prayer closet and pray over it so you can get over it. People are dying and going to hell while we're offended over somebody said something or did me wrong. Jesus was spat upon, beaten, nailed to a cross, and still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've got to be more like him. Someone do you wrong, I know it's going to happen, my Lord. It'd be bigger of you to go over and say, you did me wrong, but I love you, and I forgive you. People in this world wouldn't know how to respond if that happened. They would say, what? You what? But I turned my back on you. I did you wrong. I know. And they did the same thing to Jesus. And he still died for them. You can do me wrong. And trust me. Trust me, as a pastor, I've been done wrong. I've been hurt. I've shed tears of people I've poured my life into and hours into that talk bad about me and turned their back on me and walked away. But I said, God, they're in your hands. I forgive them, God. I forgive them. Why? Because I want them to be saved. I forgive them. The Gentrymangan priest said there in the lockdown that they were in that period of time, he said there were families that left and drove to different cities to go to churches. And he said, I didn't try to hold on to them. He said, because I knew they were going to another Pentecostal church. He said, I hated to see them go, but I just wanted them to see them saved. You love people that much. That's all that matters. I just want to see you saved. That's it. That's all it. I just want to see him saved. All Jesus cared about was reaching souls. That's it. That's it. We'll go back to John. It says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." The world's going to say, what is up with LifePoint that they actually pay attention to us? There are people that some churches push away and say, oh, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. This will never be a church that pushes people away. You say, but Pastor, they make me feel uncomfortable. Then you need to feel uncomfortable when you're praying for them in the altars and God is transforming their life. You can't do it. I can't do it. But we've got to welcome them here so God can do it. I'm telling you, a lot of people have no hope. This church is going to be their only hope in this city. We've got to love people as he loved people. She couldn't understand it. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him that he would have given thee living water." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" She's confused. Well, How are you going to give me living water? Have you not looked down there? You've got nothing. How are you going to get that out? The world's not going to understand until you teach them. But here's something that the Lord showed me. He said, until you're willing to reach them, you'll never have the opportunity to teach them or to preach to them. Reaching has to come before teaching and preaching. I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face. I preach to you every week. Thank you for our guest being here. It's a new face. Thank you so much for being here. Not that I don't love all your faces, but it is nice to see new faces. But she's asking, where's this living water coming from? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. See how easy that was? And you say, oh, I can't do outreach, Pastor. I can't reach people. All he said is there's something greater than what you currently have, and I can give it to you. It's that simple. Maybe we should try that. Maybe we should go out and just talk to somebody in the coffee shop and say, hey, listen. I have something greater than you've ever had in your life. And I know how to access it. You can have it for free. Tell me, how many people would say, oh, no, thanks. I don't like free stuff. Something will change your life. How many people in this city alone are looking for something right now to change their life? Because they don't like the life they're living. They don't like it. They want change, but they don't know where to find it. We have it. We have it. Jesus saith unto her, go. I love this part. He said, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said. You nailed that one on the head, is what he said. I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and basically the guy you're with now is not your husband. I don't know if I would recommend saying that your first time talking to people in outreach, unless the Lord leads you very strongly. The woman saith unto him, sir,
I perceive that thou art a prophet. But she's saying, you know something that nobody else knows. How did you know that? And she said, our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye not what ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then John, going to verse 25 and 26, it says, the woman saith unto him, I know, and now listen, I know that you cometh, but there's this Messiah that's coming, which is called Christ, but when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Mind blown. He says, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about someone that's going to come, that's going to change your life. You've heard all about it. He said, guess what? It's me you've been waiting on. She got revelation. I think a lot of times we put pressure on ourselves to say, well, Pastor, I can't talk to people and teach Bible studies. I can't give people a revelation of what if they don't understand who Jesus is. You're right. You can't give revelation. You get them in the presence of God, and God will give revelation. Verse 28 through 35, it says, and the woman then left her water pot. She got excited. Once revelation sets in, this is so exciting. When revelation sets in, she leaves her water pot, and it says, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men. Now listen, these are the poor people that she was trying to avoid. There's a reason she went the sixth hour of the day. That's midday. She went when it was hot. She went when it was the most inconvenient time to go. She couldn't go in the morning with the other ladies. She couldn't go in the cool of the evening. She had to come when it was inconvenient for her. So that tells me that not only was it inconvenient and hot and just nasty and probably sweaty and just miserable for her, it was also hot, inconvenient, nasty, and miserable for him. But he had a mandate. He's not going to ask you your opinion on it. When he says, I want you to go do this now, he's not going to say, if you can fit it in your schedule. Mm-mm. He says, I must go. He's calling the church and telling the church, you must go. It is a mandate, and it's not going to be pretty all the time. It's not going to be perfect all the time. The situation is not going to be just wrapped in a pretty little box with a bow on top. It's not going to be maybe the way you expect it to be. It's not going to be like that. But I'll go with you. I'll show up every time you do it. I will be there with you when you teach the Bible studies. I will give you wisdom when you're putting forth effort to do it. It's not going to be perfect, but I promise you, you'll fulfill your purpose, my mandate. It says, then they went out of the city and came into him. The men that she went and got came out to him. It said, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They really thought he sent them for lunch. Poor little things. Mm-hmm. They said, we got your food. Here's your food. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He said, I've been eating it this whole time. And therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Did somebody else beat us to it? What? There's that guy in front of us, McDonald's, they beat us. They got to him first. There was no McDonald's then. I think the Lord would have rebuked it. Get that fake stuff out of here. All you McDonald's lovers are like, oh, Lord, Pastor, you had to go there. But they're curious. Hold on. Is somebody bringing food? Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We can't do a half-hearted job for reaching the world. We got to finish it. And it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. You're saying we got time? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. They are white and ready to harvest. Hear me this morning. Hear me this morning. They are white and ready to harvest. You might look out and say, no, the people aren't ready. The people aren't ready. I'm telling you right now, God has spoken it, and he confirmed it over and over and over again this week at Because of the Times, that the fields are white and they are ready for harvest. The fields in Athens are ready for harvest. We have got to respond to the mandate and say, God, it might not be convenient for me. It might not look pretty, God, but I want to fulfill my purpose in the city. God, I want to reach the city, Lord. God, there are those who are lost and dying every day, God. I want to fulfill the purpose of this church. This is not the hour to be distracted by the world's mandates. They're there, we know it, but this is not the time to let them consume your thoughts. Do not let them bring you down. But it is the hour to respond to the mandate of God to reach this world. This world. Brother Ryan, if you have that, if you could play that for me. Right now. Let that sink in. Right now, as we're sitting here, there are souls going into eternity. One after another. One after another. And so many churches right now are just sitting on pews, not worried about moving, not worried about getting out into the city. They're going to go through just another normal service that they always go through, have a little touch of the Holy Ghost, and they're going to go back home, get themselves some lunch, take a little nap while souls are going into eternity. We have a mandate. We have a mandate that God has given us. He said, there is a great commission that I am calling this church to. And if you want to see, if you want to see, because he said, I will give the growth. I will grow the church because it's my church. You want to see souls? He said, if you do your part, if you go and you plant the seed, he said, come on, you water it. He said, I promise you, it'll grow. I'll make it grow. And when you get to that new building, you're going to see growth and you're going to see things take place that you haven't seen yet. You're going to see souls and revivals of numbers you haven't experienced yet. That 28 soul revival was nothing in comparison of what's coming. He said, but are you willing to respond to the mandate? Altar call is going to be a little different today. I want us all to stand all over this place. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to stay right where you're at just for a moment. I believe that we have had great victory in this city, spiritually. But I do believe that there are still some strongholds that are in place. And I want us to pray this morning before we come to this altar, right where you're at. I want us to pray Ephesians 6 and 12, says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want us right now as a church to lift our hands, and I want us to pray a prayer of great victory over our city. This is our city. This is our city. God gave us this city. I want you to lift your hands right now and lift your voice. I want you to pray a prayer. God, send great victory, Lord. Set free the captives, Lord. God, we pray against, Lord, every spirit that's trying to hold us back, God. I pray in the name of Jesus right now. God, if you would have your way, Lord. God, I pray, God, send angels, Lord. God, to come, Lord, into battle, Lord. God, I pray against every spirit, God. God, that's trying to hold back individuals, Lord. God, from reaching, Lord God, this place, Lord, to reaching out, God, and experiencing hope and salvation, Lord. I pray, God, a great victory this morning, Lord. God, I pray right now, God, set them free, God. Set free the captives, Lord. God, I pray as we pray this morning, Lord, God, that you'll shake it, Lord. God, begin to shake the city, Lord. I pray spirits will begin to shake it, Lord. God, that people's eyes will be open, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus, set them free this morning, God. God, give us great victory, Lord, God. Great victory, Lord, of those things that bind those in this city, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Next, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray from Romans 13, 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. I want us to pray for a great awakening in the people of this city. I want us to pray that this year that there will be a great awakening loosened, that their eyes will be opened, that they will get revelation as this woman at the well got revelation. When we start reaching out to them, that they're going to get revelation and God's going to show them that I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It is me. I'm the one who came to save you. Can you throw your hands up right now and pray, God, let there be a great awakening, Lord. Let there be a great awakening in our city, Lord. God, let there be, God. I pray, God, as we begin to respond to the mandate, God. God, as we fulfill our purpose, Lord. God, I pray, God, that the eyes, Lord, of the individuals in the city will be open, God, to see, God, that there is a loving God. God, that robed himself in flesh, Lord, and died on a cross, Lord. God, it went to a grave, Lord. It was resurrected, Lord, back to life, God. God, that there is salvation for them, Lord. God, that they can repent of their sins and be baptized in your name, Jesus, and have their sins washed away, Lord. They can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, God, with evidence of speaking in other tongues, God, that their life can be changed, God. Let there be a great awakening, Lord. God, that we would see, Lord, that now is the time, now is the hour, Lord. God, I pray, God, let there be a great awakening in this city, Lord. Let there be a great awakening, God, in this city. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning, early this morning, I returned home from prayer. You get to read the story about a great captain who was actually spoke about this week because of the times. And this great captain knew that there was coming defeat to his army because there was just so little of them, but there was a great army coming at them, and he stood up in front of them and he said, we've got options. He said, one option is we can run and try to hide. Option two, he said, we can raise the flag of surrender and just turn ourselves over to them, become their captives. He said, we can do that. He said, there's option three. And he took his sword in the dirt. He drew a line.
He said, option three, you can join me over here to fight for our freedom and for our country. He said, not all of you have to come, but I'm going to go fight. And if you want to come with me, you can fight alongside me. He said there was hesitation in the crowd. And there was one soldier that had been battled, had been wounded in battle. And all they had was just their arm to use for a sword. They were on a cot. And he cried out to his fellow soldiers. He said, can two of you pick me up and carry me across the line? I would rather die fighting for freedom than to surrender. I ask you this morning, and I know not everybody is watching or not everybody in this room might even respond to this, but I'm going to respond to the mandate for this city. And I'm asking who will join me. Who will cross the line this morning and walk to an altar and say, Pastor, I'm in it with you. We're going to reach this city. Come on, will you come up? And will you begin to cry out, God, God, let the mandate be alive in me. God, I want to respond to the mandate, God. Lord, I want to win the souls of this city, God. God, use me, God, use me, God. Use me, God, to reach them, God. God, I might be wounded. I might not have it all together, God. But I would rather fight for their freedom than just sit on a pew, God. I want to fight for the freedom of those in this city, God. I want to fight, God, for the hope, God, that is for them, God. I want to fight for them, Lord, until the end. I might die doing it, God. God, but you died doing it too, Lord. God, I'm going to give my life, Lord. God, I'm going to give my life, Lord. God, to reach the lost, God, because I know every second that goes by, God, every minute that goes by, every hour, God, that's wasted, Lord. God's souls, God, are going into eternity. They're slipping into eternity, God. Oh, I have a mandate to reach. We have a mandate to reach. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, reach out in your prayers right now. Reach out in your prayers right now. God, use me, Lord. God, use me, God. Put a new passion in me, Lord, for souls, God. A new desire for souls, God. God, use me, Lord. Use me, oh God. God, help me, Lord, to respond, God, to my purpose, Lord, to fulfill the mandate, God, that you've given in the Great Commission, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, in your mighty name, in your mighty name, in your mighty name, in your mighty name. Find somebody to team up with. We're in this together. Find somebody around you to team up with. Let them know we're, come on, pray with somebody. We're in this together. We're in this together. We're going to fight together. Come on, we're going to reach together. Jesus, in your mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah, Lord, Jesus, 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 oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.